Well, I'd invite you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll continue looking at different ones of the Proverbs. Today is a return to a proverb that we have referred to on several occasions already because it is such a central theme, but Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8 is what we'll be looking at this morning. But I'd heard about a little boy who had been outside playing and came in for lunch just covered in filth. And his mom said, "You got to go wash. You're so dirty and there's so many germs in the dirt that's on you." And he was greatly agitated by that. He said, "Germs and Jesus, germs and Jesus. That's all I hear about around here, and I've never seen either one." We like to be able to see things. No, we're more comfortable with those things that we can actually touch. And there's something unsettling about the unseen, about faith. We're surrounded by situations all the time, and yet somehow when it comes to the things of God, it moves into a different category in our minds. We've never seen electricity. Well, some of the electricians maybe have, I don't know, or the results of it. But we go over and flip on a switch, we plug something in, we just assume it's going to work. And there's those kinds of things all around us that we do accept by faith. We just know it's there. But somehow when it comes to things that God has said, we find it very, very unsettling. And we want to say, wait a minute, I don't know about that. The life of faith can be unsettling. And yet it is exactly what those who follow Jesus have been called to. Even entering a relationship with Jesus requires this. And we're told in God's word, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Not hard, not difficult, not iffy. It is impossible to please him. And so this comes as a central part of what we are and who we are. And so this morning, we're going to return to Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8, that show us how we're to live our lives, how we're to go about this day-by-day activity that we have here on planet Earth. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 reads like this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." Let's pray as we get into this. Father, I just ask, as we talk about things that we cannot see, we cannot touch, at the same time, you would drive these truths from your word deep into our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be able to embrace that which you have called us to because of who you are and our confidence in you. So I commit every one of us here this morning. I pray that our ears would be open, our minds would be open to what you want to say, that we would hear clearly from you. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The life of faith, it is at times unsettling. That's always been the way it has been. That's always the way it will be. What would it have been like for Noah? Never seen rain. Never experienced it, but God said, "Build a boat. It's going to rain." Okay, what's a boat? Okay, what's rain? So many things that he could not know, but he did. He just simply obeyed the God who had led him and guided him throughout his life. It is unsettling at times, but it is exciting. Now, in this passage, we see this unsettling and yet exciting lifestyle. Trust in the Lord, verse 5, with all your heart. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him. Verse 7, the middle part of that, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. The question that comes to our minds is, well, why should I? Why should I do this? Why should I devote myself? Why should I give myself to someone I have never seen, to things that I cannot know, to things that do not make sense? And a lot of times they don't. Some of the things that God calls us to are counterintuitive. They're definitely countercultural. But he calls us. And it's not a time for negotiation. It's not a time for debate. We've got to be at that place where we say, you are God, I am not. I will listen. I will obey. Now, there's a lot of reasons that we could give why this is acceptable, why this should just be embraced by every one of us who know Christ. Let me mention a few to you. Some reasons for trusting him. I would start with his perfection. Psalm 18, verse 30 is one of those verses that will lead us there. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. As for God, his way is perfect. He's the only one who has never made a mistake. He's the only one who has never asked for a do-over. The only one who has never said, whoops. His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. His instruction to us will always be right. It will never need revision. It will never, again, he will never ask for a do-over. The way of the Lord is perfect. So whatever he has told us to do, we can know it's right. And it's to be embraced. It's to be followed. He does not need us to go and just renegotiate and try to figure out and be able to explain everything. His way is perfect. Another reason we can trust him is because of his wisdom. Another psalm, another of the places in Scripture that draws us to this, Psalm 147, verse 5, how great is our Lord. His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. It's beyond comprehension. It's why it would be funny if it wasn't so sad. You see all these people running around who get their moment of fame on Facebook or social media of some sort, talking about how smart they are, how they've got all this figured out, how God is wrong, how the Bible is wrong. It'd be funny if it weren't so sad. His wisdom alone, his understanding is beyond comprehension. God is the only one who has been able to see things from start to finish. I say it often enough, we look at life in these little snippets of time, these little brief windows, and we can't possibly know the outcome of certain things. God has known it from eternity past to eternity future, from before the world was created until the very day he says, time is done. He has seen it all. So the things that he has said are based on that kind of wisdom. The instruction that he gives us is based on that kind of infinite wisdom. His understanding is beyond comprehension. Another reason we can trust him is because of his love. Lamentations 3, verse 22, the prophet Jeremiah reminds us the faithful love of the Lord never ends. Never ends. His mercies never cease. Now, I've known about the Lord from my earliest recollections, and I came to trust in Christ as my Savior as a young child. And this is something that I've known about, but it took me a long time in life before I really thought about, what does that mean that it never ends? It can never end. I believe, I think I'm right here, that even those who have rejected Jesus Christ and leave this life having rejected Him and enter a Christless eternity from Him are still loved by Him. His love never ends. Maybe we see it in that incident in the New Testament when Jesus is approached by one just described as a rich young ruler, wants to know about eternal life. Well, Jesus gives him some instruction and says he loved him. He loved him to the end. Even knowing that young man was going to walk away and say, I guess I don't want this after all. His love never ends. And so we can trust what he said, that it is good, it is right, it is beneficial for us. Even if we can't figure it out, even if we don't understand it, even if most of the world says we're nuts, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. Everything that he asks us to do, tells us to do, is based on his understanding. It's good for us. It's best for us. One other thing I would just suggest here is because of his power. We trust him because of his power. Yeah, but I can't see how this is going to happen. This can't possibly work out right. No, it's impossible. Well, think about it. The angel talking to Mary after giving her the word that she was going to have a child and she was objecting to all this. Well, I've never been with a man. I've never had sex with anyone. How can this be? For nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing. Nothing will be impossible with God. Yeah, but no yeah, buts. Nothing will be impossible with God. The things that he is calling you to do in your life, the clear instruction that he's given to you in his word, he has the power to bring it out. We don't have the resources. He does. And so a few reasons here why we should trust him. And the skeptic will say, yeah, but you would expect that's from the Bible. That, what else would it say? People, this is not a blind leap of faith. It's not a blind leap of faith. For thousands of years, people have attempted to disprove what God has said here. And there is not a single person who came and read and studied this out, not just regurgitating what they've heard someone else say, but have actually looked for themselves. There's not a single person who's ever been able to prove this to be inaccurate. It's never happened. And it never will. Because as for God, his way is perfect. His word is flawless. So it's not a blind leap of faith here. It is faith. And it is asking us in so many cases to act on what we have not seen, what we cannot touch. But it is not a blind leap of faith. God has proven himself. And so he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge him. This is Solomon speaking to his son, wanting him to understand that this is so essential for life. You cannot do this any other way. You cannot live life here without listening to this instruction and expect your life to mean anything at all. Now, we also need to notice here the range of trust. Again, verse 5, trust in the Lord with how much? With all your heart. Verse 6, in how many of your ways? In all your ways, acknowledge him. There will never come a time when we are smart enough, experienced enough, to be able to just do this on our own. In all of our ways, acknowledge him. I said it a week or two ago. It's not like you come to an intersection and you stop and pray, Lord, should I go straight? Should I turn right? Should I turn left? How should I do this here? It's not that, but it is practicing this discipline, conditioning our mind that there is nothing too small to bring before him. And even when we've got, maybe especially when we think we know the way that we ought to go, we stop and say, Lord, what do you think? I think this is right. What do you think about it? In all of our ways, we acknowledge him. All of our ways. Trust in the Lord with everything that is within us. From the depth of our being, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the range. Again, there never comes a time when we can comfortably say, I've got this. We will always need him. Now, we're shown here in this passage some of the results of trust. In verse 6, the last part, after we've acknowledged him in all our ways, he will make straight your paths. Or some translations, he will direct your path. And then verse 8, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Now let's look at these. A straight path. You acknowledge him in all your ways, and he's going to straighten out your path. He is going to eliminate the detours that we are so prone to take. He's going to remove obstacles that we might put in our own way. So much of what we experience in life is self-inflicted. And there's always consequences to our choices. And asking him first just eliminates some of that stuff. I don't do this very often. I don't like to point fingers, name names, that kind of a thing. But this is so fresh and is so pertinent, I think. This past week, the fixer-upper couple, Chip and Joanna Gaines, were in the news. And they've made a career out of remodeling and rebuilding. And their shows have been so wholesome and so good and so positive. Even Christian values that have come up. Well, they produced a new show, and it just came out this week that they're featuring a same-sex couple in it. And the backlash was immediate, and it was immense from many of their followers who are, if not Christian, at least conservative, and voices like Franklin Graham, you know, just been a lot of coming out. Why are you doing this? Why? And up to this point, at least, they've been very defensive. And Chip, speaking for the family, has said, you guys are being critical. You're just being judgmental. You're not being loving. This is an obstacle that is put in their path because they didn't ask the Lord. Now, that sounds judgmental, doesn't it? But if they would have asked the Lord, he would not have said that. How do I know that? Because that's what it says here. Now, if I were to say why they're doing that, they're doing it because of money or pride or whatever, then that would be judgmental. I don't know their hearts, but I do know their actions. And we do this. We'll put obstacles in our own path that if we just ask God first, he would say, no, don't do that. That's not good for you. That's not going to be helpful to you. And any time we walk out of his will, that rebellion, those decisions are going to have some consequences. And there might be guilt and shame There might be anger. There might be resentment. Things that become obstacles to us that if we would have asked him first, they wouldn't be there. Now, forgiveness can always come. It can always come. It doesn't necessarily mean that the consequences are going to be removed, however. He will make a straight path. He will keep us from those obstacles, from those consequences, from those detours. Many of us, myself included, would have to acknowledge that in our Christian experience, there's been a prodigal experience. Now, I trusted Christ when I was very young, but there was a period of years where I just did my own thing. And I'm not haunted by it anymore, but I do think sometimes, what a waste. I can never get that time back. And there were those wasted years when I was just off kind of trying to please myself. And there are repercussions even to this day. And he'll keep us from those detours if we'll just ask him. If we'll ask him first, if we'll follow what he has said. And that's part of what is being promised. Solomon is saying to his son, son, listen to this. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. If you will acknowledge him, he will make straight your path. So there's this straight path that is one of those results of trusting him. But then in verse 8, there's also a promise of a wholesome life. Verse 8, and I'm reading from the ESV, it says it'll be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but this must be a difficult phrase to translate because the different translations, a lot of different renderings of this trying to make it plain. It's interesting, the old translation, the old King James says it will be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. And that may be the best. That may be the closest. Health to your navel, literally your umbilical cord. And marrow to your bones. And I think that maybe what Solomon is wanting to communicate here is that in the depth, the deepest part of who you are, for lack of a better word, you're going to have a wholesome life. You will know rest. You will know peace. You will know a quietness in your soul. You will know, maybe this was a precursor to what Jesus would say later on, that I've come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full, the abundant life. The graces of God so real in our lives that we just, the problems haven't gone away. The difficulties of life are still there. The struggles are there. And yet, we can say with the songwriter, in the midst of it all, it is well with my soul. I think that's maybe the idea here. From the deepest part of who you are, there is just going to be a wholeness, a wholesomeness. As we trust him, this life of faith, unsettling though it might be, a straight path, a wholesome life. You know, there's so many things in this that it just could be removed. It's so important for us to think about. It never fails to amaze me. Tourists are so amusing. You know, I don't know how many times it needs to come out. There are signs that need to be put up. Don't pet the fluffy cows. You know, Debbie and a guy had just laughed at that. Got t-shirts here a couple years ago. Just this week, I saw a little video. Must have been Estes Park, Colorado, or somewhere where herds of elk just move through freely. And here's a guy up there within maybe 3 feet of an elk trying to get a good picture. Well, the elk makes an aggressive move towards him, and he backs up and stumbles down the hillside, goes head over heels, lands on a path. And the elk's coming after him, and his wife's trying to help him up, and he's hobbling around because he hurt himself. And she's actually standing between him and the elk. It's not, I shouldn't laugh, you know, it's not that funny, but it's, come on, people. Our choices, they're always matter. And God's saying, you ask me, just ask me. I've got something far better for you. Now, we would be remiss if we didn't also look at the unreliable life of independence. What it says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart, do not lean, sit, rest, literally, on your own understanding. Don't put your trust, don't allow yourself to rest on what you think is right, on what you've got figured out, on the way that you think things should go. And then again, he says later on in verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. And this is the stuff of life. This is just the way it is. This, I've got this mentality that we want to live with, that is so natural to us, that we think we can run by instinct, that we think we our gut will tell us everything. And we've got all of this, these experiences of life, and God's saying, that can be valuable, but don't count on that. Your own understanding, your own wisdom has its limitations. And why? Because, for one thing, we are not reliable. We do not have the capacity. My mind went, this was a long time ago. Sometimes you can find reruns now. Some of you guys that are a little bit more experienced in life will remember Home Improvement. Tim the Toolman Taylor. A guy who was so confident in his abilities as they portrayed him on the show, he was always rebuilding something or rewiring something, redoing something to give it more power. Oh, 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 oh. You remember that? And it always blow up. We got a little bit of the Tim Taylor in us. We do not have the capacity for this. This is beyond us. We're not reliable. And as much as we would like to think we're in control, we are not. We cannot control this stuff. We sail along thinking that we are dictating our life, that old poem, Invictus, I am the captain of my fate. I am the master of my soul. Well, no, we're not. And every now and then, something happens. It's a major health issue. It's a struggle in our marriage, rebellion in our kids, something at work that is bigger than us, and we realize I am not in control. And we can never be in control. That's why this life of independence is not helpful. And quite honestly, we could never be objective. Everything is subjective to us. Everything is about how we feel and how it affects us and all of those things. We're just not objective enough. And we need checks and balances. We need other godly people in our lives to help us sort all this out. And most importantly, we need the Heavenly Father at work in us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. A few years ago, before the Winter Olympics, there was a story, one of these human interest stories, about some skiers who were blind. And they were learning to ski, and actually downhill ski, a slalom course, by being paired with sighted skiers who would give them verbal instruction. And they started on flat land, and just listening, the sighted skier would say, turn right, turn left, turn right, turn left. And the blind skiers were having to learn to listen and respond. Eventually, they moved to a downhill course and were able to ski a slalom course, by listening to the voice of their instructor. Turn right, turn left, turn right, turn left. It was amazing. They learned, I don't think you're right. I don't think it's right. I think we turn left here. Now let's talk about this a little bit. Let's negotiate. They learned you can't do that. Gotta listen, gotta obey. It's not easy. It's never going to be easy. The life of faith will never be easy, but is it possible? Yes, it's possible. We have the witnesses who've gone before us. The Noahs, the Abrahams, the Gideons, the Daniels, the three Hebrew boys, the Paul and Peter and so on. We have all of those examples. It is possible to do this. Just got to listen. Listen to the voice of the one who knows the course. Don't argue, don't debate, don't say this doesn't make sense. Of course it doesn't make sense. But if we listen to the master, we'll arrive at the course that he has previously set for us. Some of you are at some difficult places right now, I would assume. Not sure what to do, what's up, what's down, where to go, what to do. Listen. Listen to what Jesus has said. Ask him. Seek godly counsel too, but ask him. Follow what he has already said in his word, and he'll bring you safely home. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful that you see the way. You know what this day holds. You know what this week holds. You know everything about us. And you're not hesitant to give your wisdom and your instruction. We just need to condition ourselves. Wave the white flag of surrender and say, your will. I will do what you give me to do. And so, Lord, I pray that in us, those in this room, those who may be watching online, there would be this point of saying, I'm yours, you're God, I'm not. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to acknowledge you. I'm going to see your will done in my life. And I pray that you would do this in us for your good to be accomplished, for the glory of God in Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.